All right. Well, good morning, friends. We're together again, continuing our journey on our new theme of listen, learn, love, and lean in. And we hope that you've been noticing the ways that God is moving in the midst of humanity during this time. We will continue down this path together again in worship this morning. And we want to thank you for sending in your pictures and your videos. And Jim, whenever you're ready, go ahead and share that prelude video with music coming to us from Cape Town, South Africa.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. My heart among the gates of peace, with Jesus still in driving seas. My comforter, my only one, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, not to confess, fullness of God in helpless babe. Gifts of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. The Lord that cross when Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. Precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, from his hand, the returns, no holds me wrong. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. The power of God, no scheme of man, can never part me from his hand. The returns, no holds me wrong. Here in the power of Christ, I stand.
Thank you again, all who have contributed. And yes, applause for that lovely music as we begin our time together. Well, today our scripture passage that Kate has chosen this morning will reflect on a familiar text from Jesus. And his words include the lines, take up your cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. These words continue to offer me deep curiosity and marvel, as many of Jesus' sayings do. And this week, another layer of meaning. If you follow any of the major sports leagues here in North America, you know that ripples of protest shut down and postponed games in soccer, baseball, basketball, and hockey. On Wednesday, the NBA, the National Basketball Association, which has more than 80% of their athletes being people of color, shut down first. And I immediately felt such a rush of appreciation for those athletes. These were players who were willing to stand up because they could take it no longer. I don't watch much basketball, but I felt such deep appreciation for their actions in that moment. Painting the court with Black Lives Matter, the player said, was not enough. They had to do more than that, and they were refusing to take the court until something changed. Soccer followed soon after that, and a select number of baseball games as well. All was still fine for me as a fan until it was announced that my team, the Toronto Blue Jays, were deciding not to take the field for their game on Thursday evening. Suddenly, this protest was slightly different for me. It was something that I'd been looking forward to at the end of the day, to watch my team play a game. And suddenly, I wasn't quite as excited as this protest as I was before. Then I stopped and thought, am I so self-centered that I praise the NBA players when it doesn't impact me, but feel frustrated when the baseball players do the same action? You remember several weeks back when protesters were forcibly removed from a downtown Washington, D.C. church so that the president could pose with a Bible for a photo op. Pastors from that congregation spoke out very quickly, saying that they'd not been consulted in this decision and that they stood on the side of the protesters, not those trying to disperse them. That moment filled me with a rage that I had not felt for quite some time. In that moment, I saw myself in the injustice around those people of faith who were trying to speak up, and the story was much more personal for me than many of the other political things that have been happening in this country. But I had to pause again. You see, I noticed my own bias. It was a level of rage that I didn't necessarily feel when the Muslim ban was implemented. It was a level of rage that I didn't necessarily feel when anti-LGBTQ legislation was passed, or when we learned of the scope of the children in cages at the border, or even the seemingly endless police brutality. It appeared to me that my feelings about sports cancellation, my feelings about protests, and my involvement in our society has my own internal bias, depending on how much I see myself in the people involved. So I draw us again to this line from Jesus: those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. What am I holding on to that needs to be lost? And what might I gain when I am willing to let go? As we move through the different aspects of our service this morning, let's lean in there. Let's reflect on what it means as we listen, learn, love, and lean in as we navigate these unprecedented times. We move now to the peace lamp. Just as we've done many times before, we light this flame. We remember again today that our faith journey is messy. We remember that God's peace is so desperately needed in this complicated and beautiful world. We light this flame as we continue to cry out for God's peace in the midst of these tensions, when we can see ourselves in these moments and when we maybe don't and distance ourselves because of that. If you would, please join with me now in a prayer for our morning's offering. Creator God, amid the complicated moment in time that we exist, may we strive to seek you and seek your peace, even when it is beyond our understanding. Kindle your spirit in us, amid our differences, amid our disagreements. May we feel your spirit moving in our midst as we listen, learn, love, and lean in. May our gifts be a blessing as we listen for your voice. Before we begin our offertory video, Pastor Kate and I wanted to include in the bulb there is a flower this morning, and we were drawn back to our Easter season, also on Zoom, and that fortunately means we've got a lovely recording from the Plowshare Produce crew in their rendition of this song. And so as Jim plays our offertory, we want to say thank you again to you all for offering your voices this time for our offertory.
In the pond, there is a flower, and the seed on apple tree. In cocoons, a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold, a snow of winter, there's a spring, a place to be. I'm in the
song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what a world of mystery. Unrevealed until the season, something not alone. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death our resurrection, at the last of victory.
I'd like to invite Bethany to bring our children's time here this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay, good. It's really wonderful to see all of your faces this morning, even though we have to be on screens. I'm just so glad to see everybody. And this morning, I'd like to share with you about butterflies and books and backpacks. And hard things. Though that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I'm glad we had that song about butterflies being revealed in their season just now. I have something to show you here. Let's see if we can, just wait, Daniel. We'll see if we can get it on the screen. So many of you are familiar. Many of you know about how butterflies come. They start out as eggs, then they turn into caterpillars, then a chrysalis, and then a butterfly emerges from the chrysalis, right? You probably have heard that story many times. And last week we actually saw a butterfly emerging from its chrysalis, and that was amazing. But what I've never really thought about until this week is how caterpillars get into chrysalises. How does that happen? I just learned about it this week, and you know what? It looks like it's hard. It looks like those caterpillars are working really hard. So I found a video of that process of how a caterpillar changes into a chrysalis. And let's watch it together and see if we think it looks like hard work. Jim, can you show that video?
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, for sharing that. So, children, did you see how that caterpillar looked like it split open? It looked like that caterpillar was splitting in half, didn't it? Let's listen. I have some caterpillars here, and let's listen as they talk about that. This caterpillar's name is Caterpillar, and this caterpillar's name is Ladderpillar. Daniel colored him and named him. So let's listen as they talk about what they just saw. Hi there, Caterpillar. Oh, hi, Ladderpillar. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just sitting here waiting to turn into a chrysalis. What? A chrysalis? You don't want to turn into a chrysalis, Caterpillar. Did you see what happened to Larry on that video? Did you see how he turned into a chrysalis? It looks like his head came right out of his body, and then his skin came off, and he had to wiggle and jiggle, and it looked awful. It looked terrible. I know, Ladderpillar, but you know what? God made us to turn into chrysalises, and I figure God knows what he's doing, and, you know, if we grow and change, it might be hard sometimes. Well, Caterpillar, I wish it wouldn't be so hard to change. Me too, Ladderpillar, but I think that we wouldn't want to be caterpillars our whole lives, and I think that even maybe once we start changing and growing, it might not be as bad as it looks. Well, maybe you're right, Caterpillar. You've given me some hope today. Now, this conversation between Caterpillar and Ladderpillar reminds me a little bit of a discussion that happened in today's Bible reading. Jesus is about to do something really hard, and Peter says, Jesus, I don't want you to do this hard thing. It's going to be too hard. You shouldn't have to do it. And Jesus says, you know what, Peter? I have to do it. I have to do this hard thing, and I've been getting ready for it my whole life. So we have the examples of caterpillars, and we have the example of Jesus, who showed us that hard things are part of life, and sometimes growing and changing is hard, but it leads to some amazing things. So I know that many of you started school this week, and some of you, like our friends in South Africa, maybe are already in school, and Ben and Daniel haven't started school yet, but they're going to soon. So today I want to have you go get your backpack if you haven't already gotten it. You can find a backpack or some books or some symbol of school, because school is something that we all experience as children. And I'd like to pray for us as we do that. I know that school can sometimes be hard. This year, Daniel is going to learn how to read. Some of you might be learning long division this year. Maybe some of you are going to be making new friends. And maybe some of you are having to learn how to go to school with masks or with distancing. So all those things might be hard. But let's pray for each other as we start this together. Ben and Daniel, can you come and bring your books? Can you show everyone your books? All right. And I see a backpack in Cedric's screen, and I see some in Annika and Alethea and Jonas's screen. Those are all the screens I see, but I know that there are more children there. So Ben and Daniel, you bring your books. Put them right here. Okay. Let's put our hands on our backpacks and our books. Maybe our families can too. And let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for butterflies and caterpillars. Thank you so much for your story of being willing to do hard things. I pray that as we go into school this fall, that you will be close to us. And more importantly, that you will give us trust, help us to trust in you as we face hard things. Help us to know, like Caterpillar said that maybe it won't be as hard once we start it, that maybe it's, if God is with us and we can trust in God, that that the hard things will lead to amazing things and beautiful things. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Blessings to you all this week.
What can we do? Thank you, Bethany. We will move on in our service to the voices of our congregation.
But one of the things that I've tried my hand at, kind of inspired by my younger brother who's really into it, is cultivating mushrooms. And so we talk about like a real connection to death and decay. It's in the world of fungus. I don't know. In some ways, that kingdom of life is even more mysterious than plants in some ways to human science already at this point. But then it takes a lot of waiting, even more so than a typical gardening cycle, because you usually have to wait at least a year for the spawn to fully saturate, colonize the whole log. Then you cause it to fruit by soaking it in water and kind of simulating a heavy downpour, which is its natural signal to the fungus to make the fruiting bodies. So it's a very different type of gardening than we're used to with the plant kingdom. You know, the active role that we have as gardeners is in cultivating the soil, and is one of the main ones. And that soil itself is made out of the death of previous years' plant life, and to have a soil of good tilth requires that dead substance. I've found that in my spiritual life, the times of greatest growth have come when I've kind of felt a death. You know, maybe it's some small piece of who I thought I was that had to die. Maybe it's something really big, like a relationship that comes to an end. Jesus says that. You know, you have to lose your life to gain it. And like, that seems to me like one of the core truths of Christianity. Jesus definitely personifies that in his death and resurrection. He took it to like this extreme to be a living example. Like, his whole ministry was leading up to make this point. So it seems to me like it really, if there's a fundamental truth of living that lies behind well, it's not even behind the natural. It is the natural. it's the giving up of life. It's the dying. It's that really is where true life stems from. The harder you grasp to keep what you think you have, the more you're really going to lose the substance of what matters. As we have as a society move further and further away from being dependent or being aware constantly of where our sustenance comes from, we miss, I think our spiritual view can become stunted because we're so used to the immediate gratification, the thing that comes to us in a more solid, less mysterious way from the grocery store wherever else our products come from mechanical human means, not through the amazing kind of mystery of life and that God created on this earth. So
Matthew 16:21-26. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?
Hello. Hello, brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ. Let's begin with a full breath, receiving the Spirit of Christ. And join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my lips be pleasing to you, my rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, as we continue this morning our series of listening and learning from a multitude of voices, I want to introduce you to an ancient Chinese text, the Tao Te Ching. The title translates to something like the Book of the Way. It's a series of 81 chapters, individual teachings which look and sound something like the Psalms. The origins of the book are unclear, but it's attributed to Lao Tzu and was likely written sometime around the 6th century BCE. Over the years, I've returned to this ancient text, holding these teachings alongside our biblical texts, listening for the ways they speak to one another as a way of expanding my understanding of God. So, hear these words from the Tao Te Ching, number 33.
Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power. If you realize that you have enough, you are truly rich. If you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever.
It's the last part that I hold up for us this morning. Those lines said, if you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. What does it mean to stay in the center? This question has been rumbling inside of me this week, in lively dialogue with Jesus' words, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. What does it mean to stay in the center? Staying in the center, what's at our center, the center of our lives? We're hardwired to have ourselves, our ego, at the center of our life. In our gospel text, we hear Peter pulling Jesus aside, saying, "No, no, Jesus, don't talk like that. This must never happen to you." I don't think at that moment Peter has God in the center. Then Jesus turns to him, sternly saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Oh, how often we set our minds not on divine things, but on human things. This past Monday evening, my daughter and I had scheduled a FaceTime conversation to discuss a car she's looking to buy. She has really poor cell phone service and internet connection where she lives, and so it can be tricky to reach one another. She didn't call at the prescribed time, and she wasn't answering my text or any attempt I made to reach her. When we finally connected late in the evening, she admitted she'd forgot and was busy doing other things. Not a great way to start a conversation. And I found myself getting more and more annoyed as we talked. I was feeling underappreciated, like I was doing her homework in this car buying, falling into that role of the mother of a child instead of a relationship with my adult daughter. Resentment lingered in me into the next day. Ugh, I realized, I was putting myself in the center. Those resentments were all about me. our own selves, those egos of ours, are often our stumbling blocks. Well, I want to turn now to another voice, that of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., to help us with that question, what's at the center of our lives? On January 30th, 1956, MLK and other civil rights leaders filed a federal lawsuit challenging the busing segregation laws of Montgomery, Alabama. That evening, while King addressed a crowd of 2,000 at First Baptist Church, his home was bombed. He rushed there to find Coretta, his wife, and their daughter Yolanda unharmed. And he urged the crowd gathered outside his house to remain nonviolent. That very next Sunday, he delivered a sermon entitled, "It's Hard to Be a Christian," based on our text for today, specifically the verse that says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." In that sermon, he says, one of the most prevalent illusions of modern life is the belief that it is easy to be a Christian. We've substituted a cushion for a cross. Jesus never left his followers with such illusions, King reminds us. Jesus made it crystal clear that his gospel was difficult. Yes, indeed, four times in Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples he's on the way to Jerusalem, where he will suffer, die, and rise again. Four times they needed to hear that message. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Becoming a follower of Jesus demands self-denial. There's nothing vague or ambiguous about the word deny, King says. It means what it says. It says no. No to our wants. No to our desires. Christianity demands a dangerous and costly altruism, that attitude of selflessness. It demands we say no to our individual selves in order to say yes to God. Denying ourselves, picking up our own cross, and following Christ means subjecting the whole structure of our ego to the demands of God, King says. It's not an easy task, and this is where most of us miss the mark. And the next line in his sermon, my friends, it hits me really hard. Remember, it was preached in 1956. He goes on, "There are many white people who are for justice and fair play, but they're afraid to speak." And in his sermon notes, it says, "Give example of preachers." Ouch. When speaking of Jesus' call to pick up our cross, not Jesus' cross, not your neighbor's cross, but your own cross, King says, Jesus is not speaking of burdens we are forced to bear. A burden is the inevitable load which life lays on every person. For us today, COVID is one of those burdens that life has laid upon us. King says taking up the cross is the voluntary or deliberate choice of putting ourselves without reservation at the service of Christ and his kingdom. It's putting our whole being in the struggle against evil, whatever the cost. Taking up the cross, taking up our cross, is the voluntary choice of putting ourselves at the service of Christ. It's putting our whole being in this struggle against evil, whatever the cost. Hold that. And let's come back to that line from our ancient Chinese text. If you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. What's at our center? As ones who seek to follow Jesus, is it our own fragile, easily hurt ego? Or is it the cross of Christ? What's at your center? What does it mean not to pick up your cushion, but your cross? What does it look like in this time for us to pick up our own cross and follow Jesus? Jesus tells his disciples it's hard. It requires nothing short of giving up your whole life. This following Jesus and taking up the cross is the most costly thing you'll ever do. And, my brothers and sisters, it's the way to truly find life. This is the way to abundant life. Imagine with me. Imagine life where we live in kinship with every single body. Imagine where we set aside our own desires and tend to the wounds of the Jacob Blakes, the Emmett Tills, the Osazi Asajis of the world. No questions asked. Imagine life where we risk conversations, intimate, hard conversations with those we care about, being vulnerable with our thoughts and ideas, and making space for the other to do the same. Imagine taking the time to deeply listen, leaning into those uncomfortable places, and finding a shared humanity. Sometimes that requires real risk. How about you? What's at the center of your life?
Let it rain. I want to just pause for a moment and let that sink in. I'm grateful too for that image of cocoons this morning, that they hold hidden promises. As we look ahead, I have just a couple announcements to share. I want to make sure that you all know that starting in 2 weeks on September 13th, we are going to go back to a 9:30 church service start. We'll worship at 9:30, and then after the service, have a chance for some more breakout time like we've been doing and will continue to do this morning for about 10 minutes in little breakout rooms. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll gather again for Sunday school for adults, and all ages are welcome. Right now, there is nothing planned for children. That may change, but welcome you to come back at 11. We're going to try some new interactive ways of doing Sunday school together via Zoom. So please come and join us for that. Next Sunday, Laura and Ken Litwiller will be bringing our message. So please hold them in prayer as they continue to prepare for that next week. And we will have breakout rooms this morning right after our service. So please stay if you would like to be a part of that. We heard of one birthday this morning, of Jonas having a birthday. Are there others who have birthdays or anniversaries for us to celebrate today or this week? Well, happy birthday, Jonas. I hope it's a great celebration. We'd like to also give a moment to introduce any visitors. If you're with us and haven't had a chance to be introduced, we invite you to just say your name and where you're from.
I can say a quick hello real quick. My name is Connor Huxman. This is my first Sunday attending. I'm a new grad student here at Penn State, coming from Canada, actually. So I did my undergrad, been living in Canada for the last 9 years in Waterloo. It's where I did my undergrad. I don't know if any of you guys know that area at all. So yeah, I went to Sterling Avenue Mennonite Church up there, but new to the area and looking forward to hopefully regularly attending either in person or online, whatever it may be. Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting some of you guys.
So glad you're with us, Connor. Thanks for introducing yourself. Anyone else?
You're unmuted.
I have a question. Are you in material science and engineering, or are you in mathematics, or something that need not be mentioned?
You're asking me?
Yes.
I study engineering design, so I'm doing a master's degree in engineering design, which is kind of like the broad multidisciplinary program in the College of Engineering.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely the best.
Thank you.
You two can connect another time, I hope. Well, brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, I offer this benediction as we move forward. May you go forth with the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who carried his own cross and asks us to pick up ours, offering continued presence and love as we journey ahead. May the joy of Christ lead you on. Yes, may the joy of Christ be found as Christ guides your steps into the work of this world. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all for creating this sacred space together this morning. Thank you for being a part of this time, despite our bumpy false start there at the beginning. But I think it was meaningful for all. We will break into our breakout rooms here shortly. If you'd like to stay, just hang out here for a few seconds. And if not, blessings as you continue your Sunday.